Blog Talk Radio.
Here to talk all things women, mixed martial arts. Broadcasting on the ProMMAnow.com radio network. This is Pro WMMA Now. And here's your host, Gina Begley.
Oh my God, they got us back 2 weeks in a row, Emily. What the fuck is happening?
I know. They're getting a real treat. You're lucky.
2 Mondays in a row. What the hell? We must be on an upswing.
There we go. That'll be good. Hopefully Blog Talk will stop screwing up on us.
I know, right? We're on our Pro WMMA Now upswing. We actually have a great interview for you guys to tune into tonight. We have Eric Holden in the chat room. And that's all I'm seeing so far. None of our guests. But a really exciting night. We're going to air our Megan Anderson interview. I know we had some trouble last week getting it to work, but all I have to do is hit play today. I'm excited about it. Some of the things we're going to talk about, the Soccer Mom KO, Katie Castro 0-3 versus, I can't even pronounce her name, Ilima Leigh McFarlane. Been some controversy about that video all over the internet this week. June 21st, we have Joan Jedrzejczyk versus pronounce it for me, Emily.
Jim Chaycheck.
Yeah. I've always said Jedrzejczyk, now it's a habit. On June 21st, yes. So that's exciting. Invicta has been moved, is the rumor, from July 10th, which was a Friday, to July 9th because there was a boxing show schedule conflict. It's official, I think, on the Nevada Athletic Commission. It's going to be taking place at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, is what I've been reading on the internet gossip sites. There have been some international fighter signings for Invicta. The Russian Daria Ibragimovic. Yeah, that's probably all wrong. And then Simona Sapova re-signed. We all know I fuck up foreign people names, so... Okay. EBI. Here's something. You know, there was a lot of controversy about Metamoris, and they will not show female grappling matches, and they've taken some heat over it, saying that, you know, people don't want to watch it. Kind of some machoism kind of going on there, and not even on purpose, I don't think, in the statements that were made about females grappling. But anyways, EBI is actually going to, has just announced that they're going to have some grappling matches coming up, the A Bravo Invitational, and they're going to feature 3 matches that include females outside of their 145-pound tournament that they carry on with. 2 of them are youth female matches, which is kind of cool in and of itself, and then 1 of them will feature Kira Batara. In a grappling match. I know, so I think that's pretty neat. I actually have. Let me go here and find it. Shit. I can't say that without telling you who she's grappling, right? That's just not right. I'm sorry. I just, like, I fall off my rocker sometimes. I don't know what gets into me. Eric, where are all your friends at?
I think he chased them away.
I think he did. We won't be too sad about some of those. And it says 10th Planet, Carlson Gracie's Kira Batara versus the 2014 IBJJF World No-Gi Purple Belt Champion, Talita Alencar. So, interesting. So, that'll be featured on the EBI. We'll be able to check that out when it airs. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and get started with the episode. We're going to go ahead and let that, let our interview air, because I know Emily has some work to do on the computer, and I have some work to do on the computer, filling out some stuff. So, but first we want to know, are you a fighter who's struggling to get sponsored? Then go to MMAsomnia.com. MMA Somnia is the fighter's resource for kick-ass sponsorship advice. For actionable strategies that get you sponsored, go to MMASomnia.com. And now, we won't make you wait any longer. Here is our chat with Megan Anderson. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm getting a message that says our engineers are working on a solution for the audio file issue. In the meantime, the quick fix is to delete your browser cookies and clear the browser cache. Is that for our audio file?
I have no fucking clue.
I don't get it.
Well, I'm a little pissed. It says it's working. I don't know what's going on. Let me click play on something else and see what happens. It doesn't work when I click any of them. Good evening, everybody. You're listening to Pro WMMA Now.
Oh. I got it. Do you want me to? It's letting me play. Want me to do it?
Well, fuck, I've hit three different things, so, yeah, you go ahead and see if it'll work, and we may have to start it over.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to Pro WMMA Now, part of the ProMMANow.com radio network. Tonight, we are speaking with Megan Anderson, coming to us from Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. Is that correct?
Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Well, this actually is a pre-recorded interview. Today is Wednesday. Tell us a little bit about your day and what you've had going on today.
Well, it's actually Thursday morning here, so we're a bit in front.
Mm-hmm.
I've just done a session with one of my striking coaches, Richard Walsh, and I've just gotten home, and I'll go do some training later on.
Now, you said it's morning, Thursday morning there. I'm in Kentucky in the United States. I guess that's about almost 18 hours difference. How many times a day, if this is your morning training session, do you train?
I generally train three times a day. I usually do a morning session,
mm-hmm.
And then kind of around, you know, like a midday session, afternoon session, and then I'll train at night as well.
Is that every day?
Pretty much. Pretty much Monday to Thursday, definitely three times a day. Friday I'll only do twice, and then I'll do three sessions on Saturday, and then Sunday I get a day off.
Wow. You know, how do you keep up, I guess, the energy to do that basically all day long?
Yeah, well, I used to work full-time as well, so I wasn't training as much. I was training twice a day, but it was really hard. Like, I'd get to work and I'd pretty much be ready to have a nap. I was just so tired and I'd just start. So it was really hard, but I'm not working anymore, so I'm just training full time, which is really good, which means I get to switch off in between training sessions, just relax and kind of recover, and it just means I can put more into my training, which is really what I want to do, and I can get more out of it instead of just being tired all the time. So it's really good. It's not too bad.
Absolutely. What's one of the biggest differences that you notice, other than being tired, being able to focus solely on training as a professional fighter? Do you feel like it puts you in a better mental state in fighting as well? Or, you know, does it really have no effect at all when it comes to how you feel when you enter the cage?
It definitely makes it a lot easier because I suppose when you work and training full time, you don't really get to switch off. So your body's constantly going 24/7, like, except when you're sleeping. But So it kind of gives you that time to, you know, just mentally switch off and focus on your training. And then when you get in the cage, like, you don't have all the worries of work and all that kind of stress that you've, you know, everyone kind of has when they're working and worrying about the job and getting to work on time and money and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's good, but yeah, we'll just have to see.
Now, you said you were training today with your striking coach. Tell us a little bit about your school, where you train, and what styles you incorporate into your mixed martial arts.
I train at a few different places, actually. My main MMA gym, where I kind of bring everything together, is Empire Mixed Martial Arts, and that's under Ricky Budgen. We have a really great team up there. We do – it's where I kind of bring all my stuff that I do with all my individual striking coaches together. He brings it all together, and he kind of helps me figure out, you know, what areas I need to work on, you know, helps me with a game plan. And I have a really great team there. I train with a lot of guys, and they're all really, really high quality training partners, and they push me all the time. So it's really good. I have a boxing striking coach at a Matrix Boxing Gym. His name is Chris Carden. I think he's one of the best in Australia. So it's really good to be able to work under him. I also train with Richard Walsh. He's my Muay Thai trainer. I see him a few times a week as well, and he's really improved. Because I'm quite tall, the Muay Thai style is very kind of beneficial for me, like the knees and the elbows and the kicking, because I'm so long, I can get a lot of power through them. So he's really been working on that with me. And I also trained down at Potential Unlimited Mixed Martial Arts under Vince Perry. And he's had fighters like Dylan Andrews and stuff like that, and Benny Alloway come out of that gym. So he's a phenomenal coach, and I'm just so grateful to be able to work under him when I'm there, and they have a great team of fighters down there that I'm able to kind of spar with and get some different training in. So I've got a good mix. I'm happy with how I'm going at the moment. So, yeah.
Awesome. Now, you did mention that you train with a lot of males, but we've also seen, and forgive my geographical mistakes, but we've seen some fighters come out of Australia with Beck Hyatt and Alex Chambers. Is it, I guess, sparse for the females in mixed martial arts in Australia?
It is. The pool isn't as deep as it is in America. That's, you know, particularly at the heavier weights, like featherweight, it's quite difficult for me to get any opponents anymore because I've pretty much fought everyone.
Wow, it's only 5-5. And one of those is actually a rematch, correct?
Yes, exactly. And so it's hard because particularly at featherweight, I walk around a lot heavier than a lot of the other girls. So strength-wise, I've got to train with the guys to be able to be pushed because I just out-strength most of the other girls. So I need to be pushed in that kind of way to kind of put me in deep water to see what I'll do in like a real fight. So it is that there are some great female athletes coming out of Australia, but it is very small amount just for the fact that it's still really growing here. And it's just getting those girls up at that level. So,
You know, you mentioned that the weight class is kind of, I guess, shallow, but it is a little bit here, even though there's more here. 145 isn't one of the more stacked divisions, with the UFC offering 135. You know, what do you think it is, other than, you know, there hasn't been a lot of females in that division? People seem very excited about your signing, even though there's not been a fight announced. Other than, you know, entering into that weight division, what do you think it is that makes people so excited to see you sign to Invicta?
I have no idea. It's all kind of surreal. Like, it's amazing how much support and that everyone's been giving me. It's it's incredible. I'm just, you know, this little, oh, not really little, but tall little fighter from Australia that everyone seems to be liking. It's crazy. But I don't know. I guess I just bring something new to the division. I'm different. I'm quite tall. I'm big for a featherweight. I'm, you know, I've got lots of tattoos, and oh, maybe they just see potential that I don't. I guess that they see something that, you know, I just think I'm this little nerdy girl who loves Disney movies, and I just fight a cage every now and then, and I like training. So maybe they're just like, you know, that I'm down to earth, and I don't kind of get on a high horse and try and be somebody I'm not.
You know, Emily Barty is typically my co-host, but she couldn't be a part of our interview today. But absolutely love that you love Disney movies, because that's her thing too. So for her, I have to ask the question, which one is your favorite?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast, for sure. It's my all-time favorite. Like, whenever I'm sad, mm-hmm. I'll go and watch Disney movies, and I just love the happy endings. I'm a big kid when it comes to that. I love happy endings.
I have to say, I think she has a pair of tights actually that have Beauty and the Beast. I think she actually fought with a pair of MMA shorts, but Beauty and the Beast tights. So she'll love that.
No way.
That's so funny.
Jealous.
Now, you mentioned that you have a lot of... Actually, we were supposed to speak Monday night when you were getting some ink done. What did you have done?
Yeah. I've just started my leg sleeve. my mum is not too happy about it. But I just got a section done to start off, and it's on my shin at the moment, so we'll grow from there.
Does she not approve of the tattoos? Oh, no, why not? Why not?
No, she doesn't. they're not for everyone, and I think it's a bit confronting for her, because she's, you know, she worries about what other people think of me, and, like, I'm a little girl, so... I
of
guess
course.
She
does she
just worries,
of your
just like any good mom does.
Artist.
Yeah, they support me in what I want to do. Uh-huh. I think at first she was a bit shocked that this is what I wanted to do, because I was so unathletic in school. I was so injury prone. It was so funny. I used to break my wrist, broken fingers, all this kind of stuff. I was terrible. So she was a bit, you know, thought it was funny at first, but then, you know, she came and saw me fight, and she realized that this is something I wanted to do and I was kind of good at. So they support me in this endeavor, and they're so excited that I'm, you
what,
know, reaching
guess,
my dreams. So
you weren't very athletic.
Yeah, no, they're really good.
What changed and kind of led into the mixed martial arts with not really having that athletic background?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think maybe I was just doing the wrong sports. I was doing a lot of, like, you know, like soccer and it's called AFL over here. It's like Australian Football League, and I don't think you guys have it over there. But I think I was just playing the wrong sports. Like, they were so cardio-based, and I wasn't really very good with my cardio back then. So I'd always wanted to do boxing, but, you know, I went in and... I went and picked up tickets for an MMA fight night from a coach, and he convinced me to go in and have a trial. And I kind of picked it up really quickly, and it kind of suited my physique, and, like, I had a lot of advantages, and you know, athletically I was suited to the sport, so it hasn't really been that difficult for me. Like, mm-hmm. considering I've only been training for 2 years, like, I've kind of picked it up really quickly. And, you know, to get to the level that I have in such Absolutely. A short amount of time is incredible.
Now,
so I think it was just meant to be.
Is there a date that you're hoping to make your debut for the promotion?
We haven't really spoken about dates, but I'd like to, you know, with my fight falling through in May, mm-hmm. I'd like to look at debuting in September. Because I don't, mm-hmm. my last fight was December last year, so I don't want to go too long without having a fight. So, mm-hmm. you know, September, it's probably too close for the July card, but definitely
Hold
September.
On. Is there anybody in the 45
Hopefully, fingers
that
crossed.
That you're looking at as a potential opponent that, or, you know, or is there anybody that you're feeling particularly like you would like to face as a challenge?
Mm-hmm. There's a few girls. It'd be smart to match me with another kind of debut. Mm-hmm. So I know they've just signed a few other girls, like Hannah
she's
Rogers.
She's
local girl, I think. And
well.
There's her and mm-hmm. there's you know, there's more of a challenge like Faith Van Duin. I know she's quite high ranked, so that'd be a good fight to kind of make a statement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all 145ers mm-hmm. should be looking at the cyborg fight.
Does it bother
fight,
you at all
so,
for people to speculate
you know,
that you can
my
be,
way up to
you
that.
Know, just kind of starting out with your debut with the promotion, to speculate that you could be a challenge for her early on when maybe you would want to get some experience with the promotion first?
Yeah, like, well, it doesn't really bother me. Like, I know, mm-hmm. you know, that I do need to have a few fights first, but it gives me a bit of confidence knowing that people mm-hmm. Think so highly of me so early on. So it just means that I'm going in the right direction, and if I just keep training hard and keep going like I'm going, then, you know, I believe one day mm-hmm. I'll have a very good chance
now,
at big training her.
any presumptions or anything in particular about how you think it will be, I guess? Have you ever been to the U.S.? So do you have any, I guess, expectations, presumptions, or anything
No, I haven't. I'm
that
very excited.
You want to make sure that you do when you're here, when that time comes?
Not really. It's going to be so crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, just to the flight. It's like, what, a 20-hour flight. To just seeing, like, a different country. It's going to be amazing. And the food.
Me too,
like,
girl.
One thing I really want to do is go to Disneyland. Of course. So I think that'll definitely be on the bucket list. But I'd also love to go and just go have a look at gyms over there and go train with them and see how they do things, because it's very different to how we do things. Like, I've got a few training partners who have been over there, and they just said it's incredible. It's definitely a great experience. Like,
if there's so anybody
that's definitely
that you
one thing
go
that
to
I'd,
their gym
I'd want
and
to
shadow
do,
their
so,
training,
yeah.
Well, you know,
I have no idea. I have a few favorite
fighters. So I think that would be one that would be kind of cool. But who? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Well, like, I'm a big Carlos Condit fan. I watched his fight on the weekend, and it was amazing. So I'd love to go down to Jackson's, like, his style mm-hmm. and John Jones's style, very rangy, very long, so it kind of suits my game. So it'd be good to be able to work under there. Like, I've got a few favorite fighters, so it'd be good to be able to follow them for a day.
Tall, when I saw your profile on ShareDog, it said you were 5'7". How tall are you? Oh, okay, because I'm like,
I'm actually 5'11".
I'm like, she's 5'7". It doesn't sound real tall, but yeah, that's pretty heighty.
Yeah, it's weird. A few different sites have me at different heights. It's very weird. I don't know how that works.
So you're up there in the Charmaine Tweet range of height. Awesome, awesome. Well, I guess I only have like one or two more questions.
Yeah.
Just to kind of let people know a little bit about you, where you're from. What are the kind of things you like to do for fun? And what are some of the differences that maybe people wouldn't expect or things that you like to do that maybe we don't have access to for our listeners in the States?
I'm not too sure. I like going to movies. I like watching movies all the time. I've got my electric skateboard from Fick Skateboards that I go and use all the time. It's pretty cool. I get to go pick my new one up today, so I'm very excited about that. So they do a lot of stuff with the Gracies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to be able to get on board with them. I don't know. I like to go and eat food when I'm not cutting weight. There's we have a really great restaurants and
mm-hmm.
like a really good atmosphere, particularly on the Gold Coast. It's a beautiful place, so a lot of beach, a lot of sun. Doesn't get too cold, thankfully, but it's a beautiful place. Just, you know, anywhere you go, there's always something
to
do.
I have to ask for Emily because
yeah.
She would be very curious. When you mentioned food, when you're here, and you're not cutting weight, what is a food that you'll be eager to have or to try out, or what's one of your go-tos once the fight is over and you can eat whatever you want?
I've heard that hot wings
are
the best thing on earth, so I think I'm going to have to try some. We have them here, but they're very different. So they're definitely not the same. So I definitely want to try them. They sound amazing.
I'm making wings with like maple syrup and bacon on them. That's so funny. It is.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing. Oh, it's amazing. Like all the barbecue stuff over there you guys have is like ridiculous. It's like the best food I've ever seen in my life. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to go to
awesome.
And
that's,
do
that's
some barbecuing or something.
Well,
get someone to barbecue up a feast for me.
I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. I won't hold you on here any longer. But if there's anything that you'd like to add, any sponsors you'd like to thank or training partners you'd like to give a shout out to, you're more than welcome to do so now.
No worries. I just want to thank all my coaches, Ricky, Chris, Richard and Vince. They put a lot of time and effort into my training and me and helping me grow as an athlete, so I can't thank them enough. All my sponsors, Raven Fightwear, Fick Skateboards, ProteinPowder.com, Magic Hands Massage, and Line Break Compression Sportswear. Thank you so much for all that you do and providing me with great quality gear and just all my training partners and my family. Like, their support is incredible, and you know, without them I wouldn't have anyone to train with, and without my parents, like, I wouldn't have a room to stay in, and their support is
Well, Emily, I'm pretty sure that it just ended.
I think it did too. I was listening for the shout-outs to end, and it ended.
What are you going to do? It was a good interview, though.
It was a pretty good interview.
But anyways, that was Megan Anderson. If you're tuning in, that was Megan Anderson from Queensland, Australia, joining me. I think it was on Tuesday night when we did a recorded interview. So I know it was Wednesday, actually, because I did it early on in the day. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to Pro W MMA Now to hear that. She was very fun to talk to. So that was entertaining and exciting. We are going to talk a little bit about upcoming WMMA news and the current events. We do have Eric Holden and Mark Picos in the chat room talking about some of the upcoming news. And we have some guests in the chat room as well. But anyways, they're saying that a fight was announced in Amanda Nunez and... Sarah McMahon. I know, so I think that's pretty entertaining. Talk a little bit about some new controversy with a note that Leslie Smith left to a waiter for making racist jokes. Did you see that?
I saw them commenting on it in the chat room, but I haven't seen anything on the note yet.
Well, basically, the waiter said something about the black fleas are dangerous. I don't really know. But it was meant to insinuate that, I guess, it was meant to be racist. So, she left him a long note. Okay.
Huh.
I know. Very, as Mark said, very much a you go girl moment. And then what was the other thing? Invictus signed the Russian bantamweight. We did talk about that. And they have a partnership with a Brazilian promotion. That's pretty interesting. I wonder if it's XFCI, because they have a lot of female talent that they're showcasing. We're only going to talk for a couple more minutes because there's really not a whole lot of news coming up right now at the moment. We will talk a little bit about the Soccer Mom KO that's been circulating on the interwebs, on social media, with Katie Castro 0-3 versus Ilima Leigh McFarlane, who is not 0-3. If you look at the fight, the lady, Katie Castro, she looks like a soccer mom. She's wearing, like, knee-length yoga pants, like a T-shirt. Her hair's kind of pulled back in a ponytail. She's kind of standing there looking lost. The other girl obviously looks brutish, ready to go, prepared. And when they start, even the physical demeanor of Katie Castro is not that of a fighter. She doesn't really come out hands up. She comes out kind of...
kind of like walking, standing. Like,
yeah,
okay, we're in the middle. Now what happens?
Yeah, and she doesn't look like a fighter. She doesn't look trained. She doesn't look like any of those things. She looks like about a 36, 37-year-old mom trying to make a buck or two, you know, to go out there and get knocked out. Maybe she does train. Maybe it just doesn't show. I don't know. I don't know anything about her, but it's very – the video and judging on appearances, which I hate to do, is if she does train and she is trained, it doesn't show in the fight. And so it brought up some controversy over, you know, whether or not she belonged in there, if that was okay. And, you know, somebody commented on my post I made about it, said that, you know, explode, you know, has a tendency to kind of build up one fighter and basically run kind of tomato can stompings. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't really know what to say about that. You could definitely see what was getting ready to happen. And, you know, some people commented about, oh, it was a low blow that the girl, that the woman, McFarlane, like, hit her when she dropped to her knees. And I disagree with that. You know, it's a fight. At the end of the day, Katie Castro stepped into the cage. She got paid for it. She was compensated. And I don't think anybody takes a fight that they don't believe that they can win. You know, by through some miracle or some way or somehow, or at least that they don't feel like they're going to, you know, come out a winner in some sort of sense, whether it be paycheck or whatever. So being that she is a pro and that she is getting compensated for it, I don't feel nearly as bad for her. When it's like an amateur who just keeps getting taken advantage of and like talked to by promoters and taking like these stupid fights, then that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be a professional loser, you might as well get paid for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's what she's doing and, you know, they're paying her nicely, and, I mean, 30 seconds worth of damage, like, 10 times, I don't think it's going to be that devastating to her mental cognitivity, but maybe it is. But, you know, can't say that she's the smartest for choosing that way to make money anyway, so I don't really know that she's losing anything either way. but, I don't know, like, for me, I think more of the blame goes on, you know, this girl who, like, had a winning record, but unless she was on, you know, some kind of crazy losing streak, who really wants to fight somebody with, you know, that kind of a outstanding record? Like, unless it was just, like, a last-minute replacement. And I understand that, too. Like, I don't know the details and or the circumstances. I can see a couple of ways that this kind of played out to where, you know, maybe it was a last-minute replacement. The girl got offered, you know, a lot of money at 0-2 to fight this lady who, you know, just needed an opponent. And, you know, if it were me and I had been trained for a fight camp, I had, you know, I don't know, if I'm getting paid $1,000 and $1,000, and they said, look, your opponent dropped out. All we can find is this 0-2 girl that you're probably going to beat in 30 seconds. You've went through 8 weeks of a training camp. But that's all we can do. That's all we can get. That's, you know, that's the only person who will take it on a week's notice. Then I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna beat her up, because it's, you know, it's my paycheck too. So like on the one hand, like I can kind of see like if it comes from that perspective, and I don't know that it does. I don't know that that was the circumstances. But if those were the circumstances, and it were me, I'd be like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I need to get paid. And if this is who took it, that's who I'm going to punch in the face and get my, you know, my money out of. However, if it were the circumstance of, you know, you've been training for 8 weeks knowing this girl is 0-2, then that's just fucking stupid. Like, I would be like, seriously, you can't get me somebody better than that? Like, I'm not going to waste an 8-week training camp on going out there and, like, chump stomping. You know, like, make this worth my time. Make this worth my effort. Make this worth, you know, what you're supposed to be paying me for. So, you know, I don't know the background. I don't know the circumstances. I can see where someone might think it's a good, you know, someone might go ahead and do it if, you know, like I said, it was a last-minute replacement. If that were the case, then I don't really blame the McFarlane girl. If it's not a last-minute replacement and she actually went through a whole camp for this, then that was just ridiculous. So I think we have a caller. Emily, you want to let them on? Do you know who they are?
Yep, that should be Mark. I will let him on. Mark, 3, 2, 1.
And Emily, what's your opinion on this? And then Mark can tell us what he thinks.
I kind of feel like you're hitting both nails on the head. If we knew everything about this fight, it'd be easier to say. But we don't know how the matchmaking went. We don't know the weeks leading up to it. You know, in one way, like you said, you know, yes, they both got paid. They theoretically knew what they were doing stepping into the cage. But on the other hand, you know, if you start having, you know, more and more fights that pop up on the internet like this, like, oh, soccer mom KO, you know, the public opinion, I guess, of WMMA, I don't feel like it's going to benefit that much. Like, you know, yes, females are still getting fights, but when, you know, Joe Schmo only sees, you know, 4 or 5 videos pop up and they're all soccer mom KOs, they're going to think that WMMA is a joke. And where's the respect for that? In a way, I feel like promoters kind of need to, I guess, do more work, do more digging. But like what you said at the beginning, you know, that was however much money for both of them. They both didn't go home empty-handed if it was a situation where someone just fell through.
Somebody made a good point in the chat room, is that the McFarlane lady was making her debut. ideally on paper, if there if one is 0-0 and one is, you know, 0-2, 0-3, essentially you're both at the same level of novice. So yeah, I guess it kind of makes a little more sense. But still, I don't know that I could train 8 weeks really hard in a camp to debut against somebody who was gonna basically fall over for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep.
Go ahead, Mark.
You know, you're right. There, I mean, there could have been a lot of other things. My assumption is it was a last minute replacement because, you know, I wouldn't see any other way for it to be. You know, I mean, she really did not look prepared. She looked like a deer in headlights going into that fight. Katie did. Yeah, and, you know, with the Explode Fight series, there's always been a little bit of controversy with them because, you know, officially it commissions, you know, especially the California State Athletic Commission, they will post results from a lot of these events, and CAMO will post a lot of results for some of these events. But with interestingly enough, Explode, we don't see that very often, and I think it's because they're under a local commission. So I won't be surprised if they're, for some reason, not under California jurisdiction for some odd reason. But, you know, I mean, I think commission, if a commissioner was there and then realized what was going on, see, they may not have simply let the fight happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that, you know, yeah, you know, I've seen it many times where, you know, somebody drops out last minute, last night, the night before, or even the day of, and they don't want to disappoint the fans, so they're going to bring somebody in they can find to help out. So, so yeah, I mean, I understand that kind of aspect of it. You know, like I said, I'm interested because of the, you know, like I said, if it was under a commission thing, I think the commission wouldn't have let it go. But, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. And I am a little concerned about sometimes people are padding up their records with these awesome KOs in order to get signed to some places. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
This was the same place that Christine Stanley had knocked out that one gal. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of gets leery after a while. Once it's amazing, second is happenstance. But if it happens a third time where somebody gets knocked out really, really quick, then you got to question, you know, the matchmaking and what's going on and kind of the padding and all that as well. And that's something I think that MMA matchmakers are a little bit better at, especially at the higher levels. To see, you know, who were they facing? Were they facing somebody that was, you know, that was having a losing record versus somebody that was having an undefeated record? You know, you got to kind of question where that is, you know, as much as the excitement is as well. So, I've been hearing a little bit of stories about the Explode Fight series. As much as I respect Leigh and Christine and you know, I know that. That Liz's team fights on that card very often, but I got to question the matchmaking sometimes at that organization. So hopefully that gets resolved, and I do hope that it doesn't go out to saying that, there's just, you know, really not enough women out there to have, you know, really good fights that are actually competitive, which is, and I don't think is the case. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll kind of see how this plays out, but, you know, I think word is out now. I mean, if you're a person that, you know, that wants to go up in your career, and, you know, if they want to pad their record, then go to Explode. But if you're somebody that's having a couple losses to you, you probably don't want to go to Explode Fight Series because they'll probably put you up against somebody that's way better than you are. So
well,
I think word might be coming out pretty quick.
Yeah, I understand wanting to get your pro debut started off on a win. I understand that. I understand why you would want to do that and then take the next step up to, you know, I guess increase your stock, your value, so that the next step you take, if it's for a better promotion, like if you take that chance in a loss, you're not sitting here like crying, letting your ego get the best of you, thinking, oh, God, I'm 0-1. Oh, my God, I need to fight something, somebody, so that I can even out. I don't know anybody in that boat. I can understand wanting that guaranteed win, but at the end of the day, like, if you do those guaranteed wins, there's the off chance that you'll still lose, and if you were to lose to somebody that was 0-3, I don't think that's better, you know.
Well, Well, best example of that was Marina. I mean, they brought Amanda Bell in thinking that her record was top-sided, you know, and that mm-hmm. she was going to be relatively easy, but that was not the case. I mean, she mm-hmm. was, you know, she was whip-wearing to go and ended up getting that first-round TKO. So mm-hmm. It's a perfect example of sometimes when you make that risk. You know, I mean, in this case, I mean, Katie was 0-3, and, you know, I think it's, you know, I don't think, and just looking at her, your attitude going in that cage, and like I said, you know, kind of is kind of, you know, a little bit spooky and all that as well, to see that she looked like she didn't absolutely know what to do, even though she's fought before. It's just mm-hmm. absolutely crazy. So,
she looks like they walked out and offered somebody money off the street. Like literally, that's what she looked like. It looked like they walked to the local Walmart and said, "Hey, we'll give you, you know, $500 to do a tough man contest or something." I don't know. It was bad.
mm-hmm. And I've seen examples of that too, by the way, too. But in the male end, I haven't seen it in the female end, thank God. But I have seen it before. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, like I said, hopefully it gets better, and I think word's going to get out pretty quick about what's going on there as well. I mean, commissions, I think, you know, sometimes are, you know, better at doing that as well. But I know in boxing that's what they do. They kind of have some people that are more than willing to get their asses beat to pad records, as it were. I'm just hoping that doesn't happen more often in MMA. What?
Did Mark Picos just say a curse word, Emily?
I think he did. Mark, I think I've got to kick you off the show. I don't think I can handle this.
I don't think I've ever seen, I don't even think I've even seen you write in text a curse word, Mark. What the hell is going on here?
I think he might be drinking. He's writing in the chat room.
It's just something I'm a little passionate about, one of those things.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Speaking of fighting upside down and inappropriate opponents, I saw some controversy, and this is strictly on the gossip side of things. I know you commented about it. Nickdalia Rivera Kalanick was actually retired from Invictus. She has been on a bit of a losing streak here lately, and she retired after her last Invicta fight, but I guess she's looking to come back out of retirement. And there was a post about a match that was made with her and a girl named Sherita Davis, who was the one who essentially no-showed after the fact. You know, given that Nickdalia has been an Invicta veteran and, you know, has, I don't even know how many fights she has, you know, with all the talk that there was about this fight, do you think this was very much a similar case to the Katie Castro and McFarlane fight, where it was basically someone trying to get a guaranteed win?
You know, yeah, I mean, it's hard, again, hard to say why a matchmaker would make that fight, you know, because, I mean, as much experience as Nickdalia is, mm-hmm. and Sharita's, I mean, coming in, I understand that McDowell never had an amateur career, so I can gain a little bit of leeway in terms of it. But, you know, with a gal, you know, like 0-1, you know, as a pro career, I mean, you know, and sometimes you got to question your manager too. Why did the manager even think about doing that fight as well? I don't know what happened to Sharita, if she ended up making, thinking in her head, oh, wait one second, this is probably not the best for my career to be able to face somebody at that high caliber, you know, and yeah, I don't know what happened to her. I'm kind of glad it didn't happen, you know, as much, and I know that Matt McNally, you know, trained hard and wanted to have a fight, but, you know, well, I don't think it was the right fight for her. I think there are other people that maybe have lopsided records that have a lot more experience that she could have fought, and I would have been okay with it, mm-hmm. You know. But I think that, people were really kind of passionate about how she wasn't, she was facing somebody that wasn't really, really that good. Kind of on a side note to that, the fact is that right now I'm going to be in the middle, this week I'm going to be vetting a lot of the amateur fighters for the International MMA Federation tournament coming up in Vegas. So I'm actually going to physically be going through these girls' records to see if there's any pro fights in their careers and kind of get them vetted up and ready to go for this tournament. So I will be necessarily I will be doing a process that I think a lot of these matchmakers need to do is freaking do the research on their thing. And I said say freaking there. I did not curse.
Well, you know, we won't hold it against you if you say fuck.
I know. I'll reserve that for something I really am either angry about or something that I'm really kind of passionate about too. So
we're gonna have to find that something. Right. We're gonna have to find something that we can get Mark to drop the F bomb about Emily. We're gonna have to do some research.
We are. Get ready, Mark. We're gonna start digging.
We're gonna dig. Other than that, we had some news and some gossip that Invicta was scheduled for July 10th in Nevada, but it conflicted with a boxing show that was on the same night, so they're going to reschedule it for Thursday the 9th. And I'm kind of surprised to see, you know, I know boxing is pretty big, the UFC is pretty big, the Invicta has kind of been going to the same city as some of the UFCs. Were you surprised to see them kind of booted out below a boxing show?
You know, I mean, I like it better on a Thursday, and I know a lot of people are going to give me a little bit of razz for that. But I think the fact that a lot of people are probably going to be flying in Thursday anyway because they don't want to miss anything on Friday or Saturday. And it's a little bit cheaper to fly in on a Thursday morning than it is a Wednesday, a Friday. So I kind of like that idea. You know, you don't have anything to do on Thursday night. Let's go to an Invicta show that night, and then we'll party that night, and then we'll go the next day to the weigh-ins, the UFC weigh-ins. You know, I'm not expecting the weigh-ins themselves to have a lot of people, but I think that it does give you kind of an opportunity to be able to see a show that night. I'm personally going to be, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off those couple of days because I'll be at the IMMAF tournament, but and I'll also be over in Invicta, so I'll be going between two casinos. But yeah, I mean, it's I like it. You know, I think that with Cyborg on the main event, it'll draw, and I think yeah, people are going to be coming in Thursday afternoon. You know, Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon. And it'll be a great day for them to be able to kind of go out and all that as well. I don't know if the boxing card's going to get very much from the MMA fans at all, but, you know, I kind of like the Thursday thing. It kind of makes sense to me.
It does in a sense, too, that if they have someone coming in for the UFC or for, you know, Las Vegas for the International Fight Week, you know, they have the weigh-ins on Wednesday. That's really nice. Then they have fights on Thursday. And then they also have the UFC weigh-ins on Friday. And it kind of makes a whole nice week where you can do something involved with the show. But then kind of go about
every
day enjoying, you know, every day enjoying kind of the week in Vegas, I think, if that's what you're there for, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, if you're an MMA fan, you're not going to have a shortage of matches to go and watch. I think IMMAF starts on, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and they run all the way straight to Saturday. And those are, I think, going to be during the day, if I'm not mistaken. You know, if you want to catch some action there, you're going to be able to watch some MMA action there as well. Then, of course, you have the expo going on. I won't be surprised if something kind of pops up for a couple events outside of the expo, since a lot of these companies aren't going to be able to be at the expo physically, but they may hold separate little events around town. I know Fight Chicks is going to be doing some kind of signing at the Las Vegas Fight Shop at some point during that week.
Nice.
So there'll be some other events, and I think there's a bunch of other stuff going on around the city, a couple other events that are going on too. So it'll be a crazy kind of week in terms of action. So you're not going to have a shortage of things to watch. And like I said, if you're really an MMA fan and want to watch a bunch of fights, well, you're going to get a bunch of fights all week. So all weekend, so it's going to be kind of great for you. And you get to see Cyborg fight, and I think that's what's going to be the draw come Thursday. I mean, a lot of people want to go see Cyborg fight.
Now, this will kind of be the last thing that we discussed tonight. One thing that we were talking about is Metamorphosis' lack in their capability to really showcase the females in the grappling side. And even some of the statements made have been a little condescending towards females in jiu-jitsu. And a lot of movement and push has been to, you know, not really support the organization until they can kind of become supportive of women in the sport. We talked a little bit about that. Now, we've seen some of the other organizations that are putting on professional grappling, you know, doing, I guess, a better job of showcasing female talent. And one thing I noticed is that EBI is actually going to feature Kira Batara in a grappling match when they have their next EBI. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I know a couple weeks ago, actually, up in Portland, they did a professional grappling card where it had I think three or four tournaments. I know Roma Pelek ended up winning one of them. Roxy's teammate, Celine DeJesus, was on that card as well. I hear her match with Roma was really, really good. I'm hoping they post it at some point. You know, I think there are opportunities there. I think there's a lot of gals that are you know, are primed and ready to be able to are primed and ready to do stuff like this. You know, I'm waiting for it to be posted, but the Kira match versus Celine was a lot of it was grappling, a lot of it was striking, and you know, given that the fans here in Montana aren't versed necessarily in watching you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as much as they love their striking, but I loved it just at cage side, just watching these two kind of battle it out in what was basically a grappling match. I guess the best term would be jits with mitts. But yeah, I mean, it was really, I mean, you know, I think it's interesting if they get the right people in the right thing as well. Kyra was really, really good in the match, I thought. And so was Celine. That's why I loved it so much. So I don't suspect that Kyra's going to be, anything different. I know she has a fight coming up too. She has another MMA fight coming up too, at Bama. I think it's this month. I think later this month, or that, or early next month. I don't remember. I'll take a look. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think that there are enough females out there to warrant it. Amanda Levy, I think, is a really good gal. Like I said, she's only 19. She's been facing some of the toughest competition out there. I think there are people out there. I just think that I think Metamorphosis isn't educated on who to bring in and all that as well. And they're interested in bringing a name. They want to bring somebody that brings in promotion or name on there. I will say that Mackenzie Dern's been doing a lot and on her end to be able to be recognized. So I'm interested to see who they kind of bring in. Like I said, you know, bring in a Shayna Baszler or bring in a name from MMA that you can bring it in. I think it'll work. You know, I think that Shayna could do it now. I mean, now she's out of the UFC. She doesn't have anything to do right now. It would be interesting to see her on that card. I mean, her and Barnett on the same card, I think it would sell itself. You know, I think that, you know, I think they're starting to educate themselves a little bit more that there is some backlash, that there are some girls out there as well. I'm interested to see what Grappler's Quest does at the Expo this year because I think they're still doing a card. If they do, I mean, last year they did a really great super fight women's tournament, submission only. And Katjagana was a part of it. Amanda Levy was a part of it. Sarge was a part of it. She was a part of that tournament as well. So it was a really good tournament. So I think momentum's going to be swinging in their favor. So hopefully at some point Metamorphosis kind of realizes that they're going to be viable. And I think part of it, too, is that the fighters need to start, you know, putting themselves out there and kind of marketing themselves a little bit more towards that situation. I think Shayna is a prime example of, you know, she'll be able to talk a lot of smack going into, you know, whatever if she faces anybody into there as well. So let's see what happens with Metamorphosis and see if they reconsider. I think that with the relationship with Josh Barnett, I think that it would be a good thing just to bring in Shayna now.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I think that's actually a great idea. You know, Mark, you should just sell your ideas.
I wish. I try. I mean, the only idea that's kind of I'm kind of selling right now is my movie, which has been really, really good. I mean, I've got a lot of people supporting now. I'm sure Charmaine Tweet's going to be coming down to be a part of it now. And it's been a, you know, it's been a really cool thing. White Chicks has come on board. They're going to be my gear sponsor for the production. And yeah, there's a lot of local stuff that's going on too. So that's the only thing I guess I can sell right now. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of things. And shameless plug here that my Indiegogo campaign currently is going to be up on Tuesday. If you guys want to contribute, go to 4 months until fight day on Indiegogo. Or if you go to Indiegogo, if you look up Indiegogo 4 months, you'll be able to find it. I think I found out on Twitter, on Google, if I Googled it one time. And if you go Indiegogo 4 months, you'll be able to find it. So make sure you guys definitely check that out as well. So famous plug there for my movie, which I think everything's kind of falling into place. So it's going to be really, really cool to be able to show a finished product this fall. So we'll see what goes on.
Why are you doing your movie? Where did this kind of spark from?
Well, here's the story. Basically, what happened was that I had originally written the movie for male. I wanted to do an MMA movie. I wanted it to be a little bit different than what a fighting movie was going to be. I had a story idea. I didn't have anything on paper. I had an idea what was going on with it, and then Fight Valley's press release came out. And for those of you who don't know what Fight Valley is, it's a movie that's currently filming right now. Misha Tate's one of the leads in it, and then Serena De Jesus is currently a part of it as well, in some fashion. She's been Instagramming some stuff this past couple weeks from the set. But I was reading their description of their plot, and I thought it was very cliche. It was a revenge film and all this as well. They're calling it a kind of a fight club, a female fight club, which it really, to say just reading the plot, it doesn't sound like at all. I decided that I really wanted it to be a female fight film that wasn't like anything else anybody's ever seen, you know, and the way that the style and crafted is a lot different than what you would expect. It's geared more towards a female audience. I think the Fight Valley is going to be more towards a male audience, oriented audience, versus mine's going to be more towards a female audience, and it will be something that girls can watch as well, because, I mean, no cussing or anything like that. And it goes into some really cool themes in terms of it. And I think it's a little bit more real than what a lot of MMA fights and MMA movies are going towards. I think that a lot of times they'll go towards the fact of wanting to be, you know, oh, somebody's instantly goes into fighting, wants the money or wants the glory and all that as well. And the plot of my story is nothing to deal with that. It does kind of go down to the roots of why people fight, especially the female aspect of everything. So it'll be interesting to be able to say the least in terms of that. And it has happened that I'm working on another project coming up after this one's over, and we were doing casting for it, and I got a lot of really great actresses. And the project that I'm filming after this one, which is not MMA-related at all, doesn't require a lot of really great actresses. It has some actress parts in it, but it's not. They're not very very. There's no really main characters that are part of it. So, I wanted to do a project that was really kind of that based. And my lead actress, Kate Cummings, has never fought before. This is the first time she's ever trained MMA fighting, and I wanted it that way. Because a lot of times these movies would go into a four month process of training their girls to look like they want to be fighters and all that as well. But Kate's currently training right now at my gym, and I want to take it as a fresh perspective. She's going to be fighting amateur all the way straight through this film, and a lot of times they'll instantly push them to pro status and all that as well, and I do have a problem with that at times, so So yeah, I mean, it's a different film. That's kind of the story behind it and all as well. And I'm really kind of interested to see how it kind of comes out. And like I said, it's going to be way different than what you have. You know, I'm not in this to make millions of dollars. I'm here to. It's kind of my love letter to women's mixed martial arts. But it's my kind of tribute to them, and all the fighters that I've met along the way, and why they fight versus what Hollywood be cliche as what they are fighting. So that's the long story of how this journey started, and it's been really great. I've been having some really, like I said, really great people. I just acquired a cage to film some scenes in, so Intense Championship Fighting have been happy enough to be able to lend me their cage on July 3rd. So we'll be shooting some fight scenes up in Shoto, Montana, for the movie. And we expect production to be ending in mid-July. When that happens, we'll be going through editing, and hopefully we'll have a finished product come November, and then we won't have it accessed to on demand until sometime in 2016. We're going to be doing a couple showings here in Montana. Then Artemis Film Festival said they are interested in showing it next year. So kind of there's the plan of what's going on with the movie as well. So, and like I said, if you go to 4 months until Fight Day on Indiegogo, you'll be able to see a little teaser trailer. Some photos from the set, and you can contribute however much you want. I've got a couple cool contribution gifts as a part of it as well, so make sure you guys check that out.
Awesome. Time to talk with us tonight. I don't think we have anything else to cover. If you are tuning in, we did have the Megan Anderson interview earlier, so once we hang up, I guess give it about 5 minutes, the show will archive, and you'll be able to tune into that and go back and hear what she had to say. But with that, Mark, why don't you tell them why don't you tell them where they can find you on social media, so if they want to give you a follow, they can.
Alrighty, y'all can find me on Facebook. It is Emily Bart T, and you guys can find me on Twitter. It's @ebartT.
And, Mark, tell them a little bit about your website, where they can find it, and how to get in contact with you.
OneEdSports.com. Right now, I have the news about Amanda Nunes versus Sarah McMahon. I have the information there. It's going to be televised on Fox Sports 1. All the particulars are on that article. Either tonight or tomorrow, I'll be publishing some news about Invicta. They just signed a new fighter, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name yet because I want to make sure I say it right. But a really great bantamweight prospect. They just signed her. She's from Russia, 9-1. And then a little bit more information about what's going on in terms of Invicta's event down in Vegas coming up, International Fight Week. I will be there for Invicta, and I'll also be there for the International MMA Federation tournament. So expect a lot of coverage that week. It's going to be busy for me to go back and forth between two casinos, but, I'm going to try. Definitely take a look at that. Go to wombatsports.com. Either tomorrow or Wednesday, I shall have an article up announcing the teams and the female participants in the IMMAF tournament. Like I said, I'll be vetting some of these fighters, so you'll be able to get to see these girls that are probably going to be some of these girls are going to be probably the next Invicta stars coming up. So make sure you guys check that out as well. And then I have a little bit of news about that Brazilian partnership. Immortal FC has partnered with Invicta. I'll have a little bit more about that tomorrow morning. Make sure you follow us at Wombat Sports. And I want to thank everybody. I've just got my 5,000th follower on my @WMMA News account. So I'll thank everybody for following me. I know it's been a long, long haul to get that 5,000, but thank you for following me as well. And I apologize if I get annoying at times. But thank you for that. And we're also on Wombat Sports on Facebook as well. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of news coming out. I would assume that as soon as Invicta gets the go-ahead for their event, they have to go through the Nevada State Athletic Commission. We will as soon as they get that for approval, I'm pretty sure the press release is going to go down either Friday or Saturday about what the card's going to be, because I think the card's already there. They're just waiting on the venue and the time to be there as well. And I know Catherine Costigan also has to get a fighter's license through the Nevada State Athletic Commission, so she's also on the agenda on Thursday. So we'll have that taken care of as well. And I think that's about it. Like I said, go to winebetsports.com. We'll have a bunch of news this week, so make sure you guys check that out. I know I've been slacking a little bit because of the movie, but it sounds like things are starting to pick up a little bit.
Awesome. Well, Mark, we appreciate you coming on and speaking with us tonight, and we appreciate everybody that's tuned in. With that, I'll say goodnight. And in the meantime, be sure to check me out at Gina Jelly Bee. You can find me at Gina Jelly Bee on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. So be sure to check that out. What else do I have going on? I don't know. I'm always working on my DDP yoga certification thing, so I'm really excited about that. And Linda has been gone to Hawaii this week. I'm jealous of her, but it's been nice. It's been nice to not get up at 6 a.m. I'm looking forward to her coming back. So, Linda, if you're out there listening, I miss you, girl, but sort of glad to have the week off, too. Other than that, we appreciate everybody who's tuned in. I don't really have anything to add on. A little shout out to one of my girls that works out with me named Sonia Cole. She's been working with me for about 8 weeks, so I will take an opportunity to give her a shout out. She's lost like 20 pounds working with me in the last 10 weeks, so I think she deserves that. But other than that, you guys have a good night, and we will return probably not this coming Monday, but the one after. Well, fuck. Nothing worked tonight, guys. Good night. Meow.